Genesis chapter 35. We're going to begin reading verse 1 tonight. We'll also be looking at chapter 28. So while you're finding 35, we're going to read that first, and then later I'll direct you to turn to chapter back up to 28. We'll use both of these passages tonight. If you found Genesis 35, I invite you to stand to honor the reading of the Word of God. I was just sitting there thinking about that great service, several services I was in with Dr. Cliff Barrows and Dr. Billy Graham, and watching him lead singing was just a blessing. Chapter 35, the book of Genesis, beginning in verse 1. God said unto Jacob, Arise, go up to Bethel, and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God, that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, Put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. And let us arise and go to Bethel. And I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand, and all their earrings which were in their ears. And Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. So Jacob came to Luz, which is in the land of Canaan, that is Bethel, he and all that the people were with him. And he built there an altar, and called the place El Bethel, because there God appeared unto him when he fled from the face of his brother. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the time of fellowship and worship we enjoyed here tonight. Thank you for these precious men of God we've heard sing through the way of video. These men who are in your presence enjoying the singing of heaven. And one day we'll be there to enjoy it as well. Bless their families tonight. Bless Brother Barrow's family and other families who've lost loved ones in these recent days. We look forward to the joy and peace and comfort of heaven, knowing that the promise that you have given to us, Lord, as your children, is that this world is not our home. We're just passing through. And Lord, I just pray in these few moments we have here together on this Thanksgiving week, on the middle of the week here tonight, I pray that this will be a time of worship and encouragement for us all. And this I pray in Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Okay. I want to speak to you tonight on the subject, just the one word, remember. You think you could remember the title? Remember. There are certain days we never forget. Today is November 22nd. Those of you who were alive and old enough to remember, that day rings and causes many emotions to come up into your life. November 22nd, 1963. For those of you that were not old enough, that's the day President Kennedy was killed in Dallas. I was not even born yet when that happened. My dad was a senior in high school, and he shared with me his story of how they found out at school that day, and word began to spread, and people began to weep, and word began to get around as to what was going on and the uncertainty our nation faced in those days. If you're a history buff like I am, you've seen the documentaries, you've seen the videos, you've seen the Zapruder film. I actually had the privilege to go to Dallas several years ago. And we made the trip to Dealey Plaza. We went to the sixth floor book depository museum. If you're ever in Dallas, Texas, you need to make time to do that. It's worth the trip. It's worth the time to go through that. And even though I was not born when this happened, hearing the date, November 22nd, 1963, being a history buff, I know exactly what that's about. I know the stories. I've seen the videos. Now I've been to the spot. In fact, there in Dealey Plaza, as you pull off, there is marked on the asphalt in the road two X's. And those are the spots where Kennedy's motorcade was when he was hit by the two bullets that hit him that day. And you can see all the memorabilia. You can see, even walk up into the book depository building on the sixth floor. You can look out the window. It is protected by plexiglass. That section is just as it was that day on the 1963. The boxes near the window where the sniper, Lee Harvey Oswald, is said to have taken those shots. But it's something about when we say something that causes us to have memories and causes us to remember. For my generation, it is a date in January of 1986. We remember where we were when we first heard of the Challenger space shuttle explosion. Watching that on television, watching that on the news, and President Reagan's address to the nation that night, instead of his State of the Union address, which was scheduled, he postponed that to instead address a grieving nation. We've seen that. We see that. And I remember exactly where I was. I remember there at Tennessee Temple University, and we heard the news, and we all gathered in the student union to watch it on television. And I guess the generation after me, all of us here, will never forget 9/11. You just say 9/11. You don't have to say what year, do you? You don't have to say what year. And so things like that causes us to have emotions. It causes us memories to come back and we know where we were and what we were doing and how we reacted and how we held our children close on 9/11 that day as we tried to explain those things. And I think about that in relation to this passage of Scripture tonight. And we're going to look in chapter 28 in just a minute. But it is here in chapter 35 of the book of Genesis that God tells Jacob to go back to a place where he first met God. He tells him to go back to a place called Bethel. Jacob knew exactly where it was. I'm sure Jacob could tell you the date. He could tell you the time. He could tell you everything that was going on in his life when he first met God at Bethel. You know, I'm convinced that just as events like I've just described in my introduction causes memories and emotions to come upon us, I believe there are certain things about our relationship and our walk with the Lord that should cause us to do the same. I think it's very healthy spiritual exercise for us to take time to remember some things about God, just as much as we remember national and international tragedies and events, some things that may be personal in our lives. There's some of us here today, you could say a certain place, a certain date, and we have automatically, there's some emotions connected to those places and to those times. So when you back up to chapter 28, let's see what it was that was so important about Bethel. What was it that God would want Jacob to remember? So as we back up to find out and why it was so important for him to do this, we find that in chapter 28, Jacob was running from his brother Esau. Jacob had cheated Esau out of his birthright. I'm not going to go into details of that story, but Esau being the other twin, but actually the older one, was entitled to certain rights as the oldest son and of Isaac. And so Jacob cheated Esau out of that through trickery. Esau was mad enough that he wanted to kill him. And he threatened to kill him, and so Jacob had to flee for his life. And so as he did, and as he's making his way away from home, it is here in chapter 28, beginning in verse 10, that we find the story of which God is referring to and what some things we can learn about in our walk with God that will help us as we remember. And I think it's very healthy for us to look back and some things that God wants us to know. Notice number one tonight. I believe that God would want us to remember the time and place when you first met God. Notice in verse I'll just start reading verse 10. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took the stones of that place and put them for his pillows. And he lay down in that place to sleep. Notice verse 12. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and to the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascended and descended on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord of God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. I believe that first of all, it's very good for us to think back at the time and place where we first met God. I can take you to that place. There were many opportunities I had to accept God's gift of salvation as a child, growing up in a Christian home, going to a wonderful church. But it was not until that day in 1975 at the Beth Haven Baptist Church in Denver, North Carolina, when I got down on an old-fashioned altar and gave my heart to Christ as a 9-year-old boy. I know exactly where it was. I can take you to the spot. Even though the church has been remodeled and the stage has been, there's different color carpet and everything else, I know exactly the place where I met God. The place where God came into my life and I trusted Him as my Savior. I'd heard the stories. I knew the plan. I knew the verses. In fact, I'd even went forward at a service before but had never truly gotten saved. There's just something about when you get discouraged, when you think about things in life and when life happens and you begin to question and think about the things that are around you, I think it's very good for us to think back to the day when you met the Savior. When you went to that point in your life, it might have been in a vacation Bible school service, might have been in a revival meeting, it may have been somebody on door-to-door visitation that came to your home and sat down and shared the gospel with you, but wherever it was, take some time this Thanksgiving week to remember and be thankful for the place and the time where you met God and where God came into your life and changed you forever. Oh, I believe that Jacob, he could tell you. He could tell you how many steps it was, and he could tell you how far it was to get there. He knew exactly what time of night it was, and he could tell you everything about that night. I guarantee you, he never forgot that night at Bethel when he first met God. You know, it bothers me sometimes when we can talk more about things in our lives, in our past, than we do about God in our life and in our past. I think I was so encouraged today. I got to hear a precious saint of God share her testimony and tell us about what the Lord meant to her in her life. And in 97 years of what it means to follow Jesus. And she even shared with us about how she witnesses to the people where she is now and tell them, do you know my Jesus? Do you know my Jesus? And I'm thinking to myself, hallelujah. Boy, I tell you what, if I wasn't already saved, I would have got saved today. I really would. I just enjoyed that so much, Thelma. And it was a precious moment with your mother today. And to hear a 97-year-old saint of God just tell what Jesus means to her. Like I said, if I wasn't already saved, I would have got saved today. And if I wouldn't have got saved, Gary would have got saved. So it's just, you know, and he still might need to get saved. I don't know. But anyway, that was wonderful to hear that precious saint of God share that. And, you know, it made me think about the time that I got saved and what a precious moment that was. Never forget it. Bring it up in your conversation. Share it with people. Tell folks about what God has done for you and where He's brought you from. So I think we need to remember the time and the place that you met God. But notice number two. I believe also in this story, it helps us that we should remember the promises that God's made to you. Remember the promises that God's made to you. Notice in verse 14 and 15. God tells Jacob there at Bethel, he says, and thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. And thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee and will keep thee in all places where thou goest and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. We need to remember the promises that God made to us. Man, now God didn't promise me the same thing He promised Jacob. He didn't promise to make my family a great nation and a great seed, but God did promise this. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Amen. God did promise, He said, I'll never let you go wanting for anything. I'll give you what you need. I'll make sure you have your needs met. He said, I will be there from the beginning to the end. He said, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the world. God has made promise after promise after promise to us as His children that we should never forget. And sometimes, and I like years ago, I used to have this in my library, and I've given away so many books through the years of my ministry. And I had this little booklet that you could pick up. You could probably still find it at a Christian bookstore. Real simple book, very inexpensive book. God's Promises for Every Need. And it's just a little simple book that where it lists what God promises and what the promise is and a verse that goes with that. And you could just sit there and read how God promises, you know, he'll answer your prayer. God promises He'll do this. God's promised you a home in heaven if you trust Him. God promised to save you if you'll call on Him. On and on and on, the promises that God's... And you know, one of the things I remember about that little book, it was just neat just to sit there and just read that from time to time. Especially when you sit there and have yourself one of those pity party days. You know what I'm saying? Don't look at me like you ain't never had one. Okay? Because you know you have. You know, you sit there and go, well, woe is me. I don't have what somebody else has got. And God hadn't answered my prayer. And it should be better than this. And I should be further along. And they're happier than I am. And I should be happier than they are. And yeah. You know what it is. You know what those pity party days. Yeah, won't you just get the Word of God out and just remind yourself of the promises that God's made to you. And just realize this. You've got more than you deserve. God will always give you more than you deserve. Even the promise where He said, I'll come back and get you. And I'm building a mansion for you on the other side. One of these days I'll come back and get you. And God keeps His promises, folks. And there are just times you just need to remember. And Jacob, I believe, would remember that night at Bethel when God told Jacob, this is what I'm going to do for you. And Jacob's life got hard. Jacob's life was difficult. Jacob was facing, after all these things, you read the things he went through in his life and his children. Oh, mercy, his children. Goodness. You think you have problems with your kids. You ought to read Jacob's life. I mean, you know, think about it. What his kids did. And Jacob, I'm sure there were many times he'd sit there in the middle of the night and couldn't sleep. And I'm sure God would remind him, wait a minute. Remember what I told you at Bethel? Remember what I told you I was going to do? I was going to make you a great... I was going to do these things. Don't be disheartened, Jacob. I promised you something and I'm going to keep my promise. Listen. Know the promises of God. Study the promises in the Word of God. Know that God will never leave you or forsake you. Go know that God will take care of you as your children, as a child of God. But notice number three. There's another thing we need to remember. And that is that we need to remember the vow that you made to God. Notice as Jacob wakes up from his sleep in verse 16, he says this. He said, surely the Lord is in this place and I knew it not. He was afraid. He said, how dreadful is this place? There's none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows, set it up for a pillar, and poured oil on it on top of it. He called the name of that place Bethel. Bethel literally means, make this note, Bethel means the house of God. That's what the name Bethel means, the house of God. He names this place that was named Luz, L-U-Z, names it a place, the house of God. And he says this, but the name of the city was called Luz at first. And Jacob vowed a vow, verse 20, saying that if God will be with me and will keep me in the way that I go and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God, and this stone which I've set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that shall give thee, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. Now wait a minute. What did Jacob just say? He said, God, if you're going to do this, if you're going to keep your promises, and if everything you said here is true, and if you give me food to eat and clothes to wear, and I come back to my dad's house in peace, and my brother's not going to kill me anymore, and everything's going to be fine, then I know that you're God, and this stone which I've set up shall be for the house of God. And I'll give a tenth of everything I've got. Did you realize that Jacob didn't have to have a preacher instruct him on tithing? He knew immediately that in order to be right with God and make a promise to God, he ought to be given 10% to start with. He didn't have to have somebody telling him he ought to do that. He just knew that that was the right thing to do. Funny thing to me, people don't even learn to do that even after reading the Bible. They still don't know to give 10%. And notice this. He remembers the vow that he made to God. Back in chapter 35, when God reminds him, wants him to go back, Jacob tells all of his family, he said, listen, you get rid of all that foreign stuff. Get rid of all those false idols. Get rid of all that jewelry. Get rid of all that stuff of false God. We're going back to Bethel. We're going back to the house of God. You see, I made a promise to God. I promised him I'd serve him. I promised I'd be faithful. God promised he'd take care of me. And I promised God I'd give him a tenth of everything I've got. And I'm going to keep my vow and I'm going to keep my promise to God. You know what amazes me? And I know if we could figure out how to keep this from happening, I know we'd change all of churches in America. But it amazes me how many people can walk out of the church and make a promise to the church and promise to God that they're going to serve God, be faithful, and they're going to pray and give and support and minister and everything else. And then you never see them anymore. It's not because they're sick and they can't come. It's not because they're working and they can't come. It's not because they got some other issue and they just can't be here. I'm talking about they don't go anywhere and they could be here every time. Makes me wonder why. It's because they forgot the vow they made to God. It's because they forgot the promise they made to God. Sometimes we just need to sit down and say, God, help me never forget what I promised you. I'll never forget the place. And God called me to preach. I didn't know what it meant. Still, to this day, I'm convinced that if I knew what it meant, I probably wouldn't have agreed to it. But I told God, God, if that's what you want me to do. And I didn't really understand it all. It was later that summer. I was in Hillsville, Virginia, Gospel-like Christian camp. And one of my mentors, who became one of my dearest friends, Brother Steve Robertson, he was a graduate of Tennessee Temple University. He was associate pastor under his dad at Gospel-like Baptist Church in Walkertown, North Carolina. Steve, you know exactly where that church is. And Steve Robertson directed the camp, and Steve Robertson was my hero. I mean, he was a basketball player. He loved the Tar Heels, and he holds all-time scoring record at Tennessee Temple University in basketball. And I thought, man, if that's what they look like at Tennessee Temple, that's where I want to go. And I shared with Steve one afternoon. I said, Steve, I believe God called me to preach a while back. I told my pastor about it and everything else. He said, well, what's the problem? I said, Steve, I just don't know. I don't know what it means. I'm getting ready to go into seventh grade. I'll be going to junior high in the fall, and I don't know what all it means. I'm not sure what I know the first day of school of junior high, the teacher's going to go around and ask everybody, what do you want to be when you grow up? You remember those days? I hated that. I really did. I hated that. Everybody wanted to be famous and rich and everything else, and coming over to me, what do you want to be, Mark? Well, I believe God wants me to be a preacher. They didn't know what to say. When that came, everybody would say ooh and awe about, being a model or being a whatever and being an astronaut or an engineer or something. They got to me and they say, preacher, teacher's looking and go, okay. And they just move on. They just know what to say. And I said, Brother Steve, I said, I don't know what to do. He said, let's get down right here. We got down in the middle of the softball field, outside the gym. He said, Mark, if you believe God's called you to preach, God will call you. God will use you. If you just give it all to him. And we just got down on it. I take it to the spot. In fact, I was there two summers ago with my friend, Brother Earl Green. We went back up for a pastor's retreat. And I said, Earl, I got to go find that spot. I went out there and found that spot between the gym and the softball field and the soccer field. There used to be a lake out there where you can fish, and the lake's all filled in now. I got down there, and I said, this is it. This is where I met God. And God confirmed with me what I'm supposed to do for the rest of my life. I mean, I was just getting ready to go into seventh grade. I could have changed my mind and nobody would have thought any different of me, I'm sure. But I knew I made a vow to God. And I confirmed that vow that day at Gospel Light Christian Camp. And Brother Steve, we got up from praying. He said, okay. He said, you're on tomorrow night. I said, for what? He said, you're going to preach tomorrow night. I said, where? He said, here. I said, Brother Steve, there's 350 teenagers at this camp this week. They're all older than I am. I'm the youngest of the crowd. This is teen week. I'm the youngest. He said, that's all right. He said, you just take that Bible and you just preach. And every year until I went to college, I went back to that camp every summer. And I preached at that camp. And Steve allowed me to preach. One of these days, I'm going to hog-tie Steve and get him down here And he's pastoring in North Carolina now, and I'm going to get him to come down here, and you're going to meet him. And but there was a time I made a vow to God. There was a time you made a vow to God. You made a promise to God, and some of you've gotten away from it. There's some times in your life you've avoided it, and you hadn't fulfilled your promise that you made to God. You need to remember, God never forgets. God never forgets. And God expects and holds you to that promise. So whatever it is that God, you vow you made to God, just do what exactly he said here. Jacob. Later on, God changed Jacob's name to Israel. God used Jacob and his offspring to raise up the greatest nation this world has ever seen. And God still has promises still to fulfill to Jacob, Isaac, and Abraham, and all of their descendants. One day God will fulfill that. But never forget. Keep in remembrance. And maybe there's a day like today. You call out the day and the time and you remember, I know where I was. I know where I was that day. I know what was going on. I know how I felt. And just as important as those days are in our history, so is the day you met God. So is the day you made a promise. And remember the promises God made to you. So is the day that you made a vow to God that you'd serve Him. Don't ever forget it. Remember. Let's pray together. Lord, we're thankful for the blessings of this day. Thankful for the blessings of this week. Pray, Lord, that as we search our hearts, be reminded of what you've done for us. Help us to be faithful. Help us be obedient and serve you. We give you thanks. Lord, this week as we gather with our family and friends and we spend time in fellowship and football and food, let us be ever mindful of all that you've done for us. And we give you glory for it. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you. Happy Thanksgiving. Love you. We'll see you Sunday. Let me know if it works.